want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Having Ears to Hear. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
The title of this message is Having Ears to Hear God. Having ears to hear God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. This is the New King James Version. It says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Obviously, we're not talking about natural ears here. And we're going to go more into how we hear from God here. But what Jesus is talking about here is the ability to receive revelation, the ability to hear from God in our spirit. And so that's really what we want to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about various ways that God does speak to us. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In fact, that's one of the scriptures that Jesus himself quoted whenever he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, if you remember that. But that we don't live by bread alone. In other words, God never intended for his children or for anybody, any human being, to live just on natural food. He intended for us to live on spiritual food, which is the word of God, every word that comes or proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. This is such an incredible scripture because I've often said when God created us, he created us to function in his presence and in communication with him. It's kind of like gasoline to a car. It's fuel for us. And so many of us go through life just kind of putting around. And we're not clicking on all eight cylinders, as someone said. I remember years ago, my old daddy, he had an old pickup truck, and that thing, it was a 8-cylinder, but it had, I don't know, 2 or 3 cylinders burn out in that thing. And boy, I'm telling you, it would just jump and spit and sputter. And he would drive it to work, which wasn't very far away, but you could hear that thing going down the road, just spitting and sputtering and doing all of that stuff. And that's kind of how we are if we're just trying to live on bread alone or natural food, then we're not taking in what we truly need to live the way God intended for us to live. So we need the Word of God. So to build a relationship with God, we have to be able to hear his voice. God is speaking. I believe, in fact, that he's speaking 24 hours a day. God is just trying to get somebody's attention who will listen to him. And his preceding word, I believe, is always available. God does not speak intermittently. We hear intermittently. That's a quote by a man named Steve Sampson. God does not speak intermittently, but we hear intermittently. In fact, there's a lot of times when we're just not listening to God. In fact, we're not interested in listening to God because we are so, I don't know, we have this affair going on with our own thoughts. We think our own thoughts are so wonderful. And the scripture is very clear that our own thoughts will lead us to a road of destruction or down a road of destruction. So the church, I believe, has become desensitized to the voice of the Spirit. I've been harping on this for a long, long time, for years now. Much of the church, much of the American church, has been leaning to its own understanding, has been leaning to the arm of the flesh, looking for another plan, another strategy, some kind of marketing strategy or plan to try to get more people in and to try to do this and do that. And We've done a lot of church growth stuff, and it's not all been negative. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that there became such a focus on just the practical things. What works in business? If it works in business, we ought to do it in the church. But the truth of the matter is God always intended for his church to be led by his voice, to be led by his spirit, not just another man's good ideas. So the church has become desensitized to the voice of the spirit. That's a very dangerous thing to do, especially since as humans, we are to operate according to the voice of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And so Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now understand, when he's talking about dull of hearing, he's talking about the inability to hear in the spirit now. Paul begins making comparisons of Jesus and Melchizedek. And then he digresses to complain of the low attainments of these Christians that he's addressing here. And he's saying that it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. So instead of saying many things that, you know, he could have said or wanted to say, basically he writes few words compared to what he wanted to say. Paul was very frustrated because the church was just, though it should have been in maturity, was still in infancy. And I want to tell you today, that's the case as well, because many in the church have made it all about the wrong thing. It's, you know, it may be a mile wide, but, you know, just a smidgen of an inch deep. And God wants to take us out of that. And I want to tell you, this thing that we're going through right now, this is an opportunity to get deep, to go deeper with the Lord. Many in the church today have become dull of hearing. So the Spirit is unable to explain much because people don't listen to the Spirit. Many don't know how to listen to the Spirit because honestly, it hasn't been taught a whole lot. So we have to learn to hear by our spirit man and not our natural man. God does not, I've said this many times, God does not speak to our brain. He speaks to our spirit. The Spirit is the real you. So we have to learn to hear by our spirit man. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, or hearing by the word of God. Understand, faith, I've said this many times, but faith is born of the spirit, not of the head, not of the brain. Faith is about what you hear with your spirit from the Spirit of God. That's where faith comes from. People have beliefs, but that's not faith. That's not true faith. It's not godly faith or the God kind of faith, if it doesn't originate with the word of God. Faith, true faith, always originates with God and hearing from him. The word right there, and when it talks about hearing the word of God, is the Greek word rhema. I know a lot of people have had teaching on that. It means spoken or revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's not a physical transaction. It has to do with catching something in the spirit. It's what is God really saying to the spirit man. And understand, this is pretty foundational, but we are triune beings. It's one of the things we teach a lot around here because people really need to understand that. We are spirit beings, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Let me give you a scripture to back that up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now notice he says through and through. In other words, God wants to not just deal with one part of you, but through and through. And then he goes on to say, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to sanctify you through and through means he wants spirit, soul, and body. So that three-part being. Now, let me lay a little foundation here as well in understanding those three parts. Number one, we need to understand that our body is what we call world conscience. It is corruptible. The body is likened to machinery. It is led by the five senses. It operates in the physical realm. There are many people who are completely led by that world consciousness. It is They are completely led by their five senses or whatever their body wants. That's what they want. And, you know, they'll deal with the consequences later or whatever. So, but that's body is world conscious. Number two, our soul is self-conscious. It is our mind. It is our will and our emotions. So it is the way we think, our intellect. It is our will, the choices we make, and it is our emotions. It's what we feel on the inside. And by the way, without being led by the Spirit, you cannot trust that. You cannot. Number three, understand that our spirit is God conscious. It's our spirit that hears from God. It is the human spirit that communicates with God. Deep calls to deep, right? Anything that God speaks to you is not a product of your reasoning or your thought processes. That's why the scripture tells us not to lean to our own understanding. It is hearing in the spirit and catching it in the spirit. And so we're going to talk about how that happens tonight. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." So we see there that in communication, because prayer is communication with the Lord, so we see that in communication with the Lord, there is a spiritual communication, which that, of course, is what praying in tongues is. It's praying in the spirit. My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And this is in a teaching on baptism of the Holy Spirit or praying in the spirit and all. But just understand that there is a huge difference in praying in the spirit and praying with the understanding. In fact, a few years ago, I really came to the conclusion that I spent a lot of time really wasting time praying with my own understanding, trying to understand things, trying to get God to do certain things and so on and so forth. Well, look, He doesn't need my understanding. He doesn't need your understanding. We need His understanding. We need to hear from Him. He's the one that knows what's going on, not us. So I spend a lot of time praying in the Spirit. In fact, I prefer to pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit way more than I do the understanding. And when I pray in the understanding, I need to understand that it should be based on His Word, which was born of the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." I want to challenge you tonight. Go ahead and ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to open up the eyes of your understanding in your spirit man so that you can hear Him in a way you've never heard Him before. So your spirit man resides deep within you. Now, John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit," talking about the Holy Spirit, "whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, yet Jesus had not yet been glorified." And in verse 38 in the King James Version, it says it this way, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That word there for belly is the word koilia. It means belly, womb, heart, or innermost being. So it could be translated, "out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Why? Because there's a communication with the Spirit going on. He's able to flow through us. But that happens in the spirit of a man. Notice that Jesus didn't say, "out of your head will flow rivers of living water." See, your spirit is not in your head. Your spirit is your core. Now, I saw Pastor Mike Milley do this, and I thought, this was such a great an example, but I want to challenge you right there where you are. If you're at home, whoever's watching this, I want you to just take a moment. I'm not going to show you with my own hand, but point to yourself. Everybody point to yourself. Now, if you're out there sitting with family members, make sure they participate. Everybody point to yourself. Now, I would assume, I can't see you, but I would assume that probably most of you pointed like this When you pointed to yourself, you pointed here. You didn't point here. See, because the true man, the true person, is the spirit man, is not the head. It's not the mind. So your spirit is not your head. Your spirit is your core. And it's not made up of physical matter, unseen matter, or it's not even matter, but it's unseen. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. That inmost being, that's us. The spirit of a man searches it out. Now, so how does the Holy Spirit communicate with us? I want to give you several things here about how God speaks to us or how he communicates to us. Number one is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight because, again, that's the word of God and it's the word that brings a life. So the witness of the Holy Spirit is number one. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself, that's the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we see a perfect example there of how the Holy Spirit is communicating with our spirit. So one has a capital S, the first one, the second one is a little s. And so the Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's that inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 in the King James Version says it this way, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So a witness is a knowing. It is a spirit connection that God is confirming an answer. Now, all of these ways that I'm about to share with you about how God speaks to us, I have experienced all of these things. I know them to be true. So the witness is a knowing. You just know. It's not that you heard a voice or anything like that. There's just a knowing in your spirit. It's that inner witness. It's like a light bulb just gets turned on in your spirit, man. It's really an amazing thing. You just know something that you didn't know before that God has implanted there. When my wife and I graduated from Bible college, you know, we had several offers to go and work in various churches. And in fact, we were actually working in a church, a place that we love so very much. We love the people there. They offered to hire us on a full-time basis. They treated us like king and queen. I mean, these people were just incredible people. It was a Korean church, and we so dearly loved those people. And we knew a word from God, an inner witness from the Lord, and we both had it because we had to be in agreement here. We both had that inner knowing, that inner witness that we were supposed to come back to the Lake Charles area and serve under our pastor in Lake Charles, which was Pastor Howard Holton and Sister Jackie Holton. And at that time, they weren't in a position to be able to pay us any kind of salary or anything, but that was okay. We've never done what we do for money. That's never been the thing that motivated us. We just wanted to follow the Lord. But we had offers. We had offers for full-time ministry, and we both knew that that's not what the Lord wanted for us. We just knew in our spirit what we were supposed to do. And we talked about it. We were in agreement, and we had to turn down offers to other churches and pastors and so on and so forth. But we knew what we had to do. Again, I never heard an audible voice. She never heard an audible voice. We never heard anybody else. Nobody prophesied it to us, anything like that. We just had that inner witness. We knew what we had to do. And see, God knew that we needed some more development. We needed some more refinement. And that was the place where it would happen. Now, we didn't understand that or know that going into it. But looking back on it, we can certainly see what God was doing in that time. And I thank God that we listened to what the Lord told us to do through that inner witness. So God had placed, as I said, a knowing in our spirits. And it can be described, some people would describe it as just a flooding peace. You just know something and you have absolute peace about it. And even other things that may draw your attention, you have no peace about those things. They may be good. It may look like an incredible offer of some kind, but yet there's no peace of the Holy Spirit. There's no inner witness of the Holy Spirit. So we could not go that direction. There is, I believe, such a thing as a positive and a negative witness, though. With a negative witness, instead of feeling peace, you're going to sense a sudden heaviness. There will be dread in your spirit, man. And I would counsel anybody, if you ever sense that or feel that, whatever you do, don't go that direction. Talk to the Lord. Hear from the Lord. But if there is that dread in your spirit, obey the Lord and do what he says to do, even when it doesn't make sense, because he knows what he's doing. You know, some people would describe that as just a sinking feeling concerning what they're hearing in the moment. There have been a lot of times in our life where one thing that looked good gave us that sinking feeling, and we said, no, we know we can't do that. But yet, something that didn't make as much sense gave us great peace and that inner witness. So it's really not a feeling at all, though. It's a knowing in your spirit. It's a knowing in your spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Okay, so the first way we said that he speaks is through that inner witness. Now, number two, he speaks through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives very specific revelation knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and the sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." So notice what Paul says there, that the mystery was made known to him by revelation. Okay. Remember that word revelation, reveal, is the root word for that. Okay, let me give you some more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Okay, so we're talking about here, those are revelational gifts that God gives to his church. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So again, we're talking about how God communicates to us. This particular one is that he does it through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So these things that Paul is talking about here is letting us know that those things were revealed to him through revelation, through God revealing himself and revealing his will. Now, Amos chapter 4, verse 13, it tells us that he who forms the mountains creates the wind and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth, the Lord Almighty is his name. See, the word of the Lord is, it can be simple, but the ramifications of the word of the Lord are very profound when you get revelation. The revelation of the Holy Spirit is, again, simply knowing the thoughts of God. And in Amos, it tells us that he reveals his thoughts to man. That's awesome that we can know God's thoughts. And Micah 4:12 says this, "But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel, for he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor." So there are those who cannot know God's thoughts because they don't tap into God's thoughts through the spirit realm. But then there are those who, through the Spirit, God can reveal his thoughts to. So those are not contradictory scriptures. Those are just different people that God is dealing with. Now, Psalm chapter 139, verse 17, the psalmist says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? So here's someone who has tapped into the thoughts of God, and they say, wow, this is so precious. That precious carries the idea of great, great, great value, like a precious stone, a diamond, those kind of things. So, you know, we can know the thoughts of God, and that's an incredible thing. The Holy Spirit will speak to us this way through the thoughts of God, through the revelation of God. But in order to get those thoughts, understand, you have to be able to fast from your own thoughts. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to shut down our own thoughts and just get quiet and listen with our spirit. The scripture lets us know in John chapter 5, verse 30, he says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So this is Jesus speaking. And so even Jesus himself said, I'm not going to listen to my own human brain. I want to know what God is saying. I want to hear what God is speaking to me. Now, God's thoughts are higher than ours, but they're not unobtainable. They are actually obtainable. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Now, when I read that, what I hear is God saying, you know, maybe he's not saying it this crudely, but I think I hear him saying, you know, shut up. Shut up with all your praying, all your thoughts, all you're trying to dictate to me what you think I need to do. Just shut up, because you don't know what you're talking about. My thoughts are higher than yours. My ways are higher than yours. And so he goes on to say, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So why would we not want to get the thoughts of God? He speaks simply, but again, the revelation to our inner man is extremely profound. And so we want to hear God through revelation. Then thirdly, let me give you a third one. It is what I would call the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through his voice. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Some of you probably have experienced that. Acts chapter 10, verse 19 through 20. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Now, it said very clearly, the Spirit said to him. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So I want you to notice something. This is instruction. It's a specific moment in time, and the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit, that still small voice, speaks to Peter and tells him specifically something to do. You know, I've had instances in my life where God told me to drive down a certain road coming home from work, or told me to do this or do that. One time I was riding a motorcycle and I was behind an 18-wheeler, and I heard that still small voice say, move in the left lane. I moved in the left lane, and as soon as I moved over, boards flew off of that 18-wheeler. It was carrying a truckload of lumber, and the boards flew off of that thing and would have hit me, you know, would have taken my life. Another time, again, on a motorcycle, I'm driving about midnight. It's dark, and I'm on a three-lane road. I'm in the middle lane, and I hear that voice again say, move into the right lane. See, last time it was moving the left lane. This time it was very specific, very instructional. Move into the right lane. Well, I remembered that moment when that wood came off of that truck time before. So I immediately moved into the right lane. And as I did, I was actually going around a curve. And as I moved over to the right lane, into my view came a gigantic hose that had apparently fallen off of a truck and was crossing the left lane and the center lane that I had been in, sort of at a slant. Now, I don't know if you know much about riding motorcycles. Some of you probably do. But had I hit that big hose in that particular direction, there's a very good chance that I would have crashed and possibly been killed. So important to listen to that instructive voice of the Spirit. Some of you have probably experienced something maybe similar, maybe not that exact thing, but you just knew that you were supposed to do a certain thing. You just heard that still small voice say to do it, and you did it. So I want to tell you, literally, in my case, it saved my life twice. And then there have been many other times where the Lord spoke to do something like that and ended up being a mission from God or something like that, someone I needed to meet, that kind of thing. So sometimes it's that still small voice, and sometimes it's a more commanding voice. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So this was a command to them. Now, I'm not saying that God was, you know, was being extremely stern or anything like that, but it was a directive. It was known that this is what I want you to do. There's nothing about a suggestion here at all. He's saying, do this now. He says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So the Holy Spirit will speak to us typically in our spirits, not audibly, so that our physical ears will hear it. You may not hear anything with your physical ears because he's not speaking to our brains. He's speaking to our spirit. But sometimes still you will hear that voice. As we said, sometimes it's just a knowing, and sometimes it's just God revealing himself and through his character and his will to us. And then sometimes he is speaking with an instructional voice. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So what he's saying is, even if God spoke something to your brain can't get it. It can't understand it. It because they're spiritually discerned. You have to hear it with your spirit. So, you know, we got to quit relying on this thing here. Quit relying on your brain all the time, because your brain is probably going to mess it up even if it could hear God. So Paul, when he was Saul, heard an audible voice. But understand, he wasn't saved at the time when he heard that audible voice. So he heard it, but God was getting his attention, because he at that point had no ability to communicate spiritually with God. So God had to speak to him with an audible voice. So it was, and by the way, it was the person of Jesus Christ himself who spoke to Paul. It doesn't say it was the Spirit. It was Jesus himself. Okay, so then Paul, number four, not Paul, but God speaks through, number four, the voice of the human spirit. Okay, and I know some of this can get almost kind of seem like it intertwines, and maybe it could get a little bit confusing. And my intention is not to bring confusion in any way, but to maybe try to help you define for you how God is speaking to us, so that you can recognize that it's God. So the voice of the human spirit, he speaks. Now, Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I tell you the truth, in Christ I am not lying, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit or the human spirit, what we're really talking about here is our conscience. Our conscience. I'm sure everybody in here knows or understands how the conscience will speak to you. Our inner man has a voice. It is the conscience. Now, this is how our spirit communicates with our soul. So God communicates with our spirit, but then our spirit communicates with our soul, and that is through our conscience. When we listen to our spirit, then God has dominion in our life. And I'm talking about the soulish realm, listening to the spirit. Then God has dominion, and we are yielded to him. We will find his perfect will for our lives. Remember, we're talking about the soulish realm, the mind, will, and emotions. And when we listen to the spirit, then our mind, will, and emotions know what to do. This is why we have to train our spirit to hear the spirit of God and to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, so then our spirit can communicate with our minds. That's why, you know, the conscience works like this. When you're about to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will warn your spirit, and then your conscience will speak to your mind and say, don't do that. You get that flashing red light. You get that little warning signal. You get that kind of thing. You know, don't do that. No, no. So we have to train our spirit to hear from the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit, and then he would lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So Christians worry about whether they're doing the right thing many times. But I want you to understand that if we are correctly hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and then we heed that, and then we we heed as our spirit is trying to tell our soulish realm what to do. If we heed that, we will not go the wrong way. We've explained this many times in our ministry, but you know, most people live body, soul, and spirit. But God designed us to live spirit, soul, and body. Okay. So we hear from the spirit, we feed it into our soul through the conscience, and then we make our body do what it's supposed to do instead of the other way around. So God is imparting strategies, I believe, to increase the kingdom of God and our personal lives regularly. And he does that through the spirit. And that's why it's so important to listen. Listen to the voice of your spirit as well, your conscience. Now, I will tell you, the conscience devoid of being led by the Spirit of God is not trustworthy. There are people who do things according to their conscience, but they don't have the Spirit of God, and their conscience has been so seared and so warped, as the Apostle Paul says, seared as with a hot iron. You can't trust it only by the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God feeds your spirit, can you trust your conscience? Now, number five, I've got to hurry up. The number five is the visions of the Lord. God speaks through visions. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So we see there God speaks through visions and actually through dreams as well. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, what we see happening there is he's speaking through a vision, but he's also using that instructive voice right along with it. So sometimes the way the Lord speaks to us is he'll be speaking in more than one way at the same time to us. When that's happening, you need to really, really pay attention. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. So it's in a vision. So it happens during a vision, but then an angel actually speaks to him. And we're going to get to that one in a moment. But Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 19, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So right there, we see several different ways that the Lord is speaking all at once, but notice the word vision was used, I believe it was four times in that passage. So God will use the vision, I believe, to get our attention, and then many other times we'll use other ways to speak to us in the vision. Let me give you another one, Acts chapter 18, verse 9 through 11. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I'm with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. So there are many more scriptures, by the way, that deal with vision, that has God spoke to people through visions. But just know that's one way that he speaks. Now, we kind of touched on this just a moment ago. Number six is he'll speak through the angels of the Lord. Now, understand, the angels don't preach the gospel. That's our job, to preach the gospel. But angels do speak, and I do believe they still speak today, because this is in the New Testament. This is the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 6 through 11. It says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at an entrance, or the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. And Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. So he thought he was, but he really wasn't. This was actually an angel there who woke him up and was talking to him and giving him instruction. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and it opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel, then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." So there's very, very clear evidence here that God does still use his angels when need be to speak and to give instruction. But again, they do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has commissioned us to do that. And I want to caution people as well. Don't pray to angels, and don't try to seek the counsel of angels or any of that stuff. If God wants to send an angel to speak to you, then that's one thing. But you seek the counsel of God and you speak to God. The scripture teaches us about those who worship angels and pray to angels and all that kind of stuff, and warns us not to do those things. So just be careful with that one, but understand that God does speak through angels even today in New Testament times. And then number 7, God speaks through the prophets or the spokesmen of God. Now, I want to tell you, we're a lot more used to this because people come to church, they listen to a teaching like you're listening to a teaching now. People listen to pastors and all the, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All of those things, I believe, are valid and good for today. But I do believe that there is a problem when people get dependent on them. The people of our church should not be dependent on Pastor Cindy or myself. People need to hear from God themselves. They need to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit and listen to how the various ways that God is speaking to them. And that's one of the reasons why we want to give you this teaching. Because, you know, we're experiencing something really strange right now with this whole coronavirus thing and people not able to meet in churches. But just imagine, put yourself in a situation where you would not be able to go to church at all, ever again. Would you still serve God? Would you still seek his heart? Would you still seek his will, seek his word? Would you still get in his word and let him speak to you? Would you still go to him in prayer and seek his face and see what he had to say? Just put yourself in that situation. And if you could say, I wouldn't be able to survive without it, then there's a problem. You need to hear from God. And that's why we want to give you this teaching tonight. But he does speak through his spokesman. The Holy Spirit will speak prophetically through us to others. And now that's not just through fivefold ministry, but he'll speak through just any of his people sometimes. If he's looking for somebody that he can speak through, he may speak prophetically through you, and you need to learn how to allow those gifts to operate in you. Acts chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Now, prophesying means you're hearing from God and you're speaking what God is saying. That could be that you're hearing something directly like a pipeline from heaven. It could be God speaks to you by his Spirit through his written word, and then you speak that to other people. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, it says, "During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius." So, yes, and understand, this is, again, New Testament. There are some that believe that prophets are no longer with us because, the Old Testament is over and we don't need that anymore and so on and so forth. But here we see in the book of Acts that a prophet named Agabus stood up and he spoke and he predicted according to the Spirit of God. He spoke through the Spirit, the Bible says. I believe that we still have people today who speak through the Spirit. And your spirit, if it's led by the Holy Spirit, will discern whether those words are right or wrong whether or not it's coming from the Spirit of God. And if it's from the Spirit of God, then you better heed those words. Now, let's understand that God is using Agabus in the New Testament to speak as a prophet, to give direction. God does still do that today. I thank God that there are people who I believe operate in that prophetic realm who I can hear from, who can speak, and I know that they're hearing from God, and I'm very thankful for men and women like that who operate in that gifting and in that fivefold office. And we said that God also uses women. You have to be careful that you don't take women out of the equation. If you do, you're really going to make a huge mistake, because women can hear from God too. And I believe that just as in a family, if you don't hear from the mother of a family, you really have a problem. I believe that, you know, the mother and the father are both important. Okay, so the scripture lets us know, it says in Acts 2:17, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Also, Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9 says, leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. So we see that we have young women right here who are prophesying as well. Now, let me go on to the last point here so we can wrap this up. That is the written scripture. The written scripture is the final way and the most important way that God speaks to us. The scripture is without error. The scripture is complete truth. It's the infallible word of God. And so every voice, every vision, every prophetic word, everything that we just talked about as far as how God speaks to us must be passed through the filter of the written scripture. If it does not line up with the written word of God, then whatever you do, don't act upon it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. The Apostle Paul there is writing, and he's talking about this mystery made by revelation. In other words, it came from the Holy Spirit, and that he wrote about it. And of course, we know that Paul's writings became scripture. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, and we're going to read through chapter 2, verse 1. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. Now notice, remember what we said about the soul, the mind, the will, and emotions? So in other words, he's saying prophecy doesn't have its origin in the soul of a man. Okay? But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God spoke to their spirit. They spoke it out. Okay? That's how we have the scripture. Now, God speaks to us in many ways. And we've talked about, if not exhaustively, we've talked about many of those ways that God speaks to us. Again, I want to challenge you. This is about tuning your ear into the Holy Spirit, being able to hear from God, being able to know what he's saying to you in any instant, and to have the willingness to allow your spirit to take charge of your soul, your will, and have the willingness to do what God says when he gives us instruction. There will be a time when things are not going to be as easy as what we've known it here in America. And you better be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. You better be able to hear what he's saying. I believe that that'll be vital to all of us and to the survival of the church. So ask God to help you to clearly discern when he's speaking to you, and always be willing to obey. I want to ask you to, if you would, pray with me. I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask the Lord to help each one of you to be able to hear him very clearly. Father, I thank you for every person who has tuned in tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your word is so powerful, so awesome, so mighty, so effective. Lord, your word is what shapes us and makes us who you want us to be. Lord, all these things we've talked about, all these various ways that you speak to us, Lord, we know that it's always, always through the Holy Spirit. Whatever shape or form or fashion you speak, it's always through the Holy Spirit that you speak to us, Lord. Even when you speak through angels, we know that they are being led by the Spirit in what to say. I pray you help us to tune our ear toward you. May we be those that Jesus talked about who have ears to hear. Father, I pray, Lord, pull the spiritual wax out of our ears, that we would hear you clearly in our spirit. And we thank you for the grace to obey you and to always do it your way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.